I want to read a scripture from Ephesians. I want to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Are you guys ready? All right. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against all the attacks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of wickedness of this age, against spiritual hosts and in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with preparation of gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. People have been asking us, why are we doing this? A lot of people have been debating out there. The reason we're doing it, because there is a real war out there. There is a spiritual war out there. And there is enemy. Bible says that your enemy is the devil. He's walking around you like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How many of you know you have enemies? Addictions are your enemies. There is anger. There is lust. There's things that are coming against us every day, against you. And you need to learn to fight. One thing I'm going to tell you, last week I was so impacted by boxing, and this week I was so impacted by this thing, I feel trembling, because although these were physical illustrations, I feel a spiritual God in this place. Listen to me. There is God in this place right now trying to tell you something. I have a message for the church and the body of Christ in Sioux Falls. God is trying to say, fight the good fight of faith. Paul wrote to Timothy and says, to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Why did he have to write that many times? Help me out. Why would Paul write? Why would I say, guys, you need to fight the good fight of faith? Help me out. Because what? He was losing, or he was not fighting. What does it mean not to fight? It's just give up. You know, Timothy was a young guy. He became a minister. His church grew fast. And so Timothy was getting comfortable, you know? You know, he wasn't fighting for the truth. He was just kind of like, you know, I like this life. Everybody respects me. Everybody loves me. And Paul says, you crazy, Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. And oh, I'm going to finish this. Because last week we had a knockdown. Did you see that? In the third round, a guy kind of got carried away a little bit in boxing. Obviously, they had protective gear and everything, but he stunned him pretty good. I've been knocked down before, once. Actually, twice. Okay. One time, there was a young guy, I was playing basketball, and somebody came up to me, he was drunk. This person was drunk. And he said, you have a problem with my cousin? And he showed me. And I was like, and before I could think, I mean, he just slammed me in my jaw. I think my jaw started hurting ever after that. And you know what? I knew I could take that guy. Okay? And now I'm not going to tell you to fight. But I ran away. I ran away. I didn't feel so good for a long time. But anyway, what that showed me is that there is an enemy out there. If you remember, he knocked him down. That's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to knock you down and keep you down. How many of you know God has a great plan for your life? Jesus said, I have come to give you life to the fullest. And your enemy, all he wants to do is keep you down so you don't achieve your goal and your purpose in life. And without Jesus, it's impossible. I know without Jesus, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in the newspaper. It's all Him. And I'm not better. We're not better people. It's because what God did in our life that we can be here and we can stand and stand strong. Now, I want to talk about spiritual defense. It has two parts in it. Okay? It's defense and offense. When Paul writes about spiritual warfare, he uses an example, a Roman soldier. How many of you know that Jewish people hated Roman soldiers? Roman army was the conquering army of Israel. They imposed their rule upon the Jewish people, so they hated. Paul must have hated an army. But this is what he said. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Okay? So he said, but in order for you to fight, you must have something to defend yourself. So he says, put on the helmet of salvation, take the shield of faith, take the breastplate of righteousness, put the belt on. Then he says, put the shoes on. And then he says, this is for offense. He said, take the sword of the Spirit. So there's two parts. Is that right? First, you defend yourself, but then you just can't always defend yourself and back down. You have to knock it down. Let me give you an example. Let's say an enemy came to your house and he started shooting at you. He shot three times and you were hiding. You were able to escape three times, right? Unless you do something about it, those other three bullets that are in his gun might not go missing you, right? So defense is not only running around. Defense is you gotta protect yourself, right? But then you gotta also be on an offense. So Paul says you must have this gear on. Don't go into war just by grabbing a sword and swinging. Let me show you this. I got my own sword. Got this for my birthday. But imagine you don't have no shoes, no helmet, no breastplate, no shield, and you start swinging at your enemy. Well, your enemy could take a gun like Indiana Jones and just go, psh. How many of you seen that part? Remember that? Yeah. So that's what your enemy can do. So that's why Paul says before you grab the word, because there's a lot of preachers out there preaching, just grab the word. Just grab the word. You don't need anything else but the word. The word will do jack for you if you don't know how to use it, number one. And the word will not protect you from those sneaky attacks of the devil. How many of you know devil is a sneaky devil? All right? So Paul says, put a helmet on. Helmet of what? Salvation. Put the belt of truth. Put the shoes, readiness to go preach or evangelize. Take the shield. So whenever something is flying at you, whatever arrow is throwing at you, you can go, whoo. And whenever you don't see something, that breastplate will protect you. And look at this. People are asking us, why are you bringing fighting into church? Well, Paul, he used a Roman soldier. His nation hated Roman soldiers. And he used that and he says, learn spiritual principles from physical things. Amen. Learn spiritual principles from physical things. Bible says that God is a warrior. How many of you know that? Let me read it to you. In Isaiah 42, it says this. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. You know, when God goes to war, he yells, ha! Like he did. When he did that, I felt spirit. There was a spirit of God released when he did that. Because God is trying to teach his church something today. It's not only for new people, it's for old people who've been going to church for a long time. Paul says, fight the good fight, because we got too comfortable. Do you fight an enemy? Sometimes, even I notice myself, I watch a movie, I don't agree with it completely, and I'll still watch it. I don't fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes I just relax, and I don't even fight it in my own spirit. You know, you can watch a movie and resist it, right? If you disagree with something in a movie, you can go, oh, I'm not receiving this. Sometimes, if you don't fight, you'll be just like this. Right? So Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. So spiritual fighting has defense, so you have to protect yourself, and then offense. You have to, like you said, you have to strike them fast. Okay? Do you know that your body is designed by God to have self-defense in it? What parts of your body has self-defense? Help me out. Immune system, thank you. That's your immune system. It fights. Imagine if your immune system was connected to your willpower. Probably be dead by now. Because, right? If our immune system, thank God it's subconscious. What else? There's also in our blood, when you cut yourself, what happens? The white blood cells, their defensive mechanism, they run to the wound and they die to protect it. Your body has an immune system. So your body fights. God designed your body to fight. So what do you mean we're not supposed to fight as Christian? God designed us as a fighters. We're fighters on the inside, from the core. Come on. Second thing. Although in our nation, soldiers don't carry guns on the street. But when you go to Israel, you go to Gaza, you go to other places in the world, soldiers are walking around with big, you know, bazookas type things, you know? I was surprised when I went to Israel in Egypt. They're just walking around with the guns, you know? Like, it's weird. Thank God in our country. But, you know, our country also has a defense system. National defense system. Although you're not fighting, your tax dollars are paying for your defense. You think this country would be so perfect if there was no defense forces? No. There will be people coming to your house taking your TV. So there is a defense mechanism. As long as we live in this world, we must defend ourselves. And look what the Bible says. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. So look at this. What's the opposite of strong? Weak. People see Christians as weak. And a lot of times we get saved and we think we're supposed to be weak. Oh, that's how I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be poor, weak, depressed. That's spiritual, being depressed. No, it's not. Look what God says through Paul to Ephesians. He said, be strong. Say, be strong. Say it again. Be strong. So, be strong. Christians are not designed to be weak. God wants you to be strong. A lot of times, we walk weakly, we talk weakly, we don't read our Bible, so we're weak, we're spiritually weak, and then we pray, God, help us. And God says, hold on, I give you weapons. The weapons of our warfare, not His warfare, are not physical, but spiritual. So, Bible wants us to be what? Strong. So whenever the world tells you, no, God wants you to be weak, and wants you to be loving, and gaze type, you know. No. Feminine. No, guys are supposed to be guys, girls are supposed to be girls. You know, love everybody. But usually people who don't know God or don't read His Word have a perverse knowledge of God. They think He's love. Okay, Andre right here, right? He loves his wife. But let's say if any of you try to attack his wife, Andre would become not love. Right? Why? Because Andre is not love only. Listen, God is not love only. He's a warrior. Bible says He's fierce. Do you think Satan would be on a run if God was just a loving God and that's all He was? No, God is love. He loves. But He's also consuming fire, Bible says. He goes and shouts aloud and His enemies flee before Him. That's who God is. So don't make God, and even Jesus, although He was love, took a whip, went into the temple, and started roping them. Amen, right? He started turning the tables, the birds started flying, the doves, that's Jesus. And fighters knowing is known by His ability to tolerate pain. Jesus didn't even fight back, not because He couldn't, but because there was purpose in not fighting back. All right, so Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Now, a lot of people might misunderstand me. Look at this. I can be strong in myself. Have you noticed usually people who are scared, sometimes they try to act like they're bullies? Have you noticed this? I don't care what people think about me. Oh, I don't care what people talk about me. Hey, you know this and you know that. Listen, Bible says don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in the... Oh. What does it mean to be strong? In myself, I don't have the power to defeat you. But in God, I have the power to defeat whatever comes against me. Maybe I'm weak in the body physically, but through Christ I can do anything. That's what it means. We use God and His power. We're strong in Him, not in ourselves so much. Amen? Are you hearing me? Now, second thing. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on means what? Many Christians are walking naked or without any gear. Right? So they're walking and something, a little dart, a little needle hits them and they're like, oh, what is wrong with this? How come the Lord is not protecting me? Well, do you have your gear on? Oh, forgot your gear, so put it on. Second, it says, put on that whole. Say whole. Whole. Don't just put a helmet and be unprotected here. You might get hit in a place you don't want to be hit at. Right? Guys, let me show you something. Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Can I have Jesse come to me? All right? Let's pretend this. Come on, Jesse. Take your shoes off right now. You're going to use my sword. All right? So, let's say Jesse has everything on. He has a helmet. He has breastplate. He has a shield. Act like you got a shield. All right? You got a belt on? Yeah, he's got a belt, so his pants are not falling down. All right? But he doesn't have any shoes on. So he has everything. That's like Christians sometimes. But he doesn't have any shoes on. All right? All right. So look at me. I'm the devil. And look at this.
Oh, no.
What happened? Look at that. He's so focused on his shoes. Now, what does shoes represent? Readiness to testify about your faith to other people. So you can have helmet of salvation, shield, sword, breastplate, belt, no shoes. Let's say a U.S. Special Forces soldier has all the gear, goggles, night vision. He has a helmet. He has the best gun in the world. And he's in Afghanistan. And he goes out but doesn't have any boots on. What happens? He can't walk. He's focused on his feet. Feet are the most sensitive part of our body. Has a lot of nerves in it, right? So notice, Christians, we must have a whole armor of God. You might know the word. You might have salvation. You might be walking in righteousness. You might know the truth. You might have the faith. But unless you have shoes, what's the shoes? Evangelism. But unless you are evangelizing, guess what? It's like a soldier not having any shoes on. Now, if a soldier doesn't have any shoes on in Iraq or in Afghanistan, what happens? He starts walking, right? And he starts focusing what? On self. Instead of focusing to see where's the enemy. Instead of focusing, guess what? He got shot. Or, look at Christian. Look at a Christian without readiness to evangelize, to share his testimony. Oh, somebody hurt me. Oh, there's another little rock. Why is everybody talking about me? Look at that sister over there. She looked at me weird. Oh, and mature Christians start acting like babies because they don't have any shoes on. You have helmet? You have shield? Come on, you can clap here. Thank you, Jesse.
There you go, sir.
All right. So guys, listen up. Bible says have the whole armor of God. Have faith. You don't want to be living a life always being weak. Bible wants you to live a life victoriously, like Jesus did. All right? Hallelujah. So, he says the whole armor of God. Now, another example I want to show is, can I have Raul come? When Raul is far away from me, he's the devil now, okay? I'm the good guy. He comes against me, as long as he's far away, guess what? See? But guess what? When we get closer, guess what must happen? The hands must go up. See, a lot of Christians, they come to the devil and they, hi.
Yeah.
You see what happens? So whenever you get closer to, never go into spiritual warfare with your hands down, no. You see, thank you, Raul. So there is a distance thing. Amen? Like I said, you can have the sword, meaning you can know the word of God, But unless you have everything else on, you will be defeated by the devil. How many of you know you can't kill the devil? Listen, I'm going to tell you a spiritual truth. You probably knew it, but I'm just going to tell you. You can't kill the devil. Do you know that Jesus didn't kill the devil? He bruised him, but he didn't kill the devil. Remember, Jesus went for 40 days to fast in the wilderness, and he was attacked by the devil. He used his what? Word, sword, right? And then Bible says, after Jesus defeated devil in 3 matches, Satan left him for a season. So you can't defeat a devil in your life. But he will leave you for a season. And then number 2, you will learn to fight him so good that it doesn't take much effort. At first, lifting up 100 pounds was hard. But after a while, after you've been training and practicing, it's not hard anymore. Hallelujah. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Paul says we don't fight physically. So in no shape or form, I want you to think that what we're doing here is teaching people how to fight physically. But we are teaching people that you need to fight your depression. There's some people who are cutting themselves. There are some people who are suicidal. There's some people whose marriages are in a rocky ground. There's people, you need to fight for your marriage. You need to fight for your family. You need to fight for your joy. And I hope that one thing you get out of this is that God wants you to be strong and God wants you to be victorious. Why else would He tell you to put on the whole armor of God? Look what it says. So you will be able to withstand in an evil day. You know that everybody in the lifetime has an evil day. Job had an evil day. David had an evil day. Joseph had an evil day. What will you do when the evil day comes? Jesus had an evil day. Everybody here has an evil day. What will you do? Well, enemy wants you to surrender and be beat up. Jesus wants you to stand. Let me read it to you. Verse 13. It says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. God wants you to stand. Many of you young people, you're not married yet, but you will be. 93% of you will get married. God wants your marriages to stand. Amen. God wants your families to stand. God is all about having good life for you. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come so you can live good. And Satan says, well, if you drink tonight, you'll enjoy yourself. What about tomorrow, though? Sacrifices that we make today, we get twice as much tomorrow. Listen to me. Sacrifices that you will make today, Jesus sacrificed for 40 days, fasting and prayer. And then He started walking in great power. So you sacrifice one day of maybe not being so happy by drinking. Maybe you'll have to find another way to be happy and joyful. Whatever choices we make today will influence tomorrow. The choices I made 60 years ago influence today. And some people look at you and they think, why are you being blessed so much? Because I sacrificed yesterday. Why is your family being blessed? Because we sacrificed before we got married. There will be an evil day in everybody's life. In your life as well. Everybody's. Joseph had an evil day. This evil woman came to him and wanted Joseph to sleep with her. Potiphar's wife. Remember? Joseph had it good. I mean, he lived a good life. He was the general manager of the household of a bodyguard of a president. And Joseph said, I will not do this against my God. So Joseph sacrificed his own pleasure for a little bit. A few years later, he became the prince of Egypt. You've seen that movie or whatever we sacrifice today, people, listen. We get twice or many more times tomorrow. And God says, I want you to stand. I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to be defeated. I don't want you to be beat up. I want you to win. Amen. God is for you. But there's His way and there's Hollywood way. And if you do it Hollywood way, you get Hollywood results. And it all looks good, but then they have everything and then commit suicide. Why? They're so rich and they're not happy. Why? Why are they getting married so much and so many? It's just, God doesn't want that for you. God wants you to live a good life. And it starts very simply. It starts by you trusting your life to Him.